Our Bible reading this evening comes to us from Revelations chapter 19, commencing at verse 11. And it's a scary chapter, the rider on the white horse. Verse 11, "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and with a loud voice he called to all the birds that fly directly overhead, 'Come, gather for the great supper of God, to eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both small and great.' And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur, and the rest were slain by the word, by the sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse, and all the birds were gorged with their flesh." This is the word of God.
Our text verse is verse 11. "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war." The topic this evening, the rider on a white horse. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, last week we've heard that in Revelation 19, everything comes together. All prophecies are fulfilled. The marriage supper of the Lord has come. The previous paragraph. And all the hallelujahs about God's vengeance and justice over Babylon had become a celebration and a marriage between Christ and his bride. Every invitation over the centuries has now come in fulfillment. And every parable and every prophecy is fulfilled. Just to remind ourselves why Jesus called the groom and the church his bride. Isaiah prophesied in chapters 54 verse 5 and 6 and 62 verse 5 about God as the husband and the people as his bride. "For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you." And Jesus himself explained that he is the groom in Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13, with the parable of the 10 virgins. And Jesus compared his coming with the coming of a groom to his bride's house. And according to Jewish custom, the groom usually came late in the evening, surrounded by his friends. He usually rode on a horse, was dressed like a prince. In relation to this, Revelation 19, our passage, where Jesus' return is described as the rider on the white horse. And his friends, those who accompany him, the armies of heaven and the believers who follow him. The ascended Lord who would return as judge and king. The Lord who would abolish injustice and suffering, destroy death, and set up his kingdom of truth, righteousness, and love. John saw in his vision how heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Heaven opens, and the Word of God, the incarnate Logos, Greek for the Word of God, according to John 1, appears on a white horse, and he was leading the armies of heaven dressed in fine linen. The armies, of course, consist of those who have died in faith, who have maintained their witness to the end, received the fine white clothing of triumph. And John describes the return of our Savior as conquering king at the end of all time, the end of history. Listen to how John is describing this rider on the white horse. He's called Faithful and True, verse 11. The commentator Matthew Henry wrote in his commentary, he is faithful and true to his covenant and promises. He is righteous in all his judicial and military proceedings. He has a penetrating insight into all the strength and stratagems of his enemies. He has a large and extensive dominion, many crowns, diadems, for he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In righteousness he judges and makes war. And God's holiness demands justice. Some commentators point out that it's appropriate for Jesus to be depicted riding on a white horse. Kings ride horses when waging war. And Jesus is making war against the world's people, the Antichrist and the beast. He rides triumphantly into Jerusalem on a donkey on Palm Sunday. That was a symbol of peace, the Lord of peace. But he now returns on a white horse, a sign of war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. His eyes describes his holiness, his searching judgment that sees all. John's vision of the risen Lord, Revelation 1 verse 14, he sees one like the Son of Man with eyes like a fiery flame. And in the opening lines of the letter at Thyatira, Jesus described himself as the one whose eyes are like a fiery flame, Revelation 2 verse 18. And he wore many crowns or diadems because he's the King of all kings. God gave all authority to him, and he governs with his word and spirit. He has a name written that no one knows but himself. And this reminds us that the Lord has not revealed everything about himself and his plan. Deuteronomy 29 verse 29, we are told, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of his law. And John saw his name but did not know the meaning. The meaning is God's name, and he describes his being, his holiness. Matthew 11 verse 27, Jesus said, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And with this name, Jesus reveals that all glory belongs to him. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. This is not his own blood, but the blood of his enemies, because in our passage he does not appear as a lamb, but as the King of all kings and the judge. Isaiah 63 verse 2, why is your apparel red and your garments like his who treads in the winepress? Is the word of God, the full revelation of God's word, and God's word can only be understood if Christ as mediator revealed this to us through his spirit. And with his word, he will strike down the nations. And this is his judgment. He will rule with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. In Revelation 14, it was revealed to John when an angel said, "Put in your sickle and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, for its grapes are ripe." And where the great sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ was on a cross outside a city at Golgotha, there will be now a winepress and blood flowed for 1,600 stadia. This is 2,253 kilometers. Symbolic number. And it means that the blood will flow over the world. This is how the Lord will tread the winepress when he comes as the rider on the white horse. When he comes as the judge and the king. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, verse 16. And the name in his robe indicates his kingly office. To Isaiah it was revealed in chapter 59, verse 17. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. You see that all prophecies are now coming in fulfillment with the return of the rider of the white horse. This vision also fulfills the prophecy of Psalm 110. And I'm going to make quite a few references to Psalm 110 as well. We read in verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 110. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. Revelation 19, verse 17 to 18, the result of his judgment is described. John described how an angel was standing in the sun. And with a loud voice, he called to all the birds that fly directly overhead, "Come, gather for the great supper of God to eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all men. Both free, slave, both small and great." Remember in the previous passage that the believers will share in the marriage supper of the Lamb. But for the unbelievers, there will be no meal. They will become the meal of the birds of the air. The people were warned about this in Ezekiel 39 verse 4 already. Now this will come in fulfillment as well. "I will give you to birds of prey of every sort and to the beasts of the field to be devoured." And that's God's righteousness, God's judgment for rejecting his son. And when all these things will happen, when Jesus will return as the groom, the rider on the white horse, God alone knows. However, we can see with the signs of the times that we should be ready that when the rider will return. The return of our Lord Jesus Christ as judge and king on Judgment Day. And the previous passage, we should rejoice, sing hallelujah, because the believers will join in the marriage supper of the Lamb. And this is our comfort. We can be confident that a condemnation of the unbeliever and the wicked will be terrible. But for us, we will sit with the Lamb and feast with the Lamb. It will be a day of terror for the wicked, and the wicked will ask the mountains and the hills to cover them. In verse 6 of Psalm 110, we read, filling them with corpses. Should these things make us afraid? No, never know. Not if you belong to Christ. The church in heaven sings hallelujah. They are dining with the Lord. And our confession in question and answer 52 of the Heidelberg Catechism is an assurance and comfort. Christ is coming again. We confess, in all my distress and persecution, I turn my eyes to heaven and confidently await the judge as the very one who has already stood trial in my place before God, so as removed the whole curse from me. This is the curse that sin brought. All his enemies and mine he will condemn to everlasting punishment, but me and all his chosen ones he will take along with him into the joy and the glory of heaven. And so the Apostle Paul taught that when Christ returns, he will punish those who do not know God, do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he comes on that day to be glorified with his saints and to be marveled among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. That's 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8 to 10. In other words, God will fully reveal his glory, and he will make all things new. Chapter 20. His enemies will be condemned. In fact, they will become the prey of birds. But we will be joining him for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's through grace alone. The feast of the birds, in contrast to the feast of the Lamb, serves as a warning, but also as the greatest comfort for the believer. We cannot even imagine that day. The terror will be terrible, according to Psalm 110. But be comforted. It will be joy for the believer. We cannot fully understand, fully comprehend the glory and the power of nature that will be when Christ comes again. It will be too much to observe. Yet this is the day we pray for, when we pray, come Lord Jesus. And Psalm 110 says, with lifted head and tense anticipation, the unbelievers will be desperate, like an animal trapped in a cage, but an unbeliever will be trapped before Christ through their own wickedness. They will and cannot get away from him. He is the Logos, the Word of God. They will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory, the rider on the white horse. But Christ will give all his children comfort. This will not distract us. The Spirit will comfort us. In contrast to the unbelieving despair, anguish, and terror of humanity, Psalm 110 teaches that a believer will stand up and lift their heads. The Lord, verse 7 of Psalm 110, will lift our heads. Our King is coming. And the upright standing is not in despair, but with determination, conviction that our King is coming. History is fulfilled. Men, women, and children will stand up and wait with lifted heads to meet Christ. And the armies of heaven, and this is the believers who is in heaven now, they will follow on white horses, will be dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And when we appear before him, the judge, Revelation 20, who paid our sins with his own blood, we don't have to fear judgment. We will be found not guilty, based on what Jesus did for us. When the books are opened, there's redemption for his atoning death on the cross, eternal life with him in peace. What should we do? Keep on praying, brothers and sisters. Be faithful. Pray, true church, that he, the rider on the white horse, will return soon, when we will be with him in all eternity, and live boldly, live confidently, with lifted heads, and strategically as servants of the heavenly King in challenging times, in times of distress and persecution, the Catechism says. And we should preach about the kingdom of God that's coming. We should proclaim the gospel of grace for people to repent, but also for people to have an insight in the things that will happen, the things that need to happen before Jesus returns. And also we can know that our labors in the Lord are not in vain, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Lastly, we are comforted that with Jesus' return, that the Antichrist and the false prophet will be captured and thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. And so everything and all the godless will be destroyed. Jesus' victory will be so complete that according to Revelation 19 verse 21, and the rest were slain by the sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse, and all the birds were gorged with their flesh. This is the King we serve. and he has everything in his hand. He has the word, and he will conquer all enemies with the word. He is the one who rides as victor over the evil powers. He is the one who rides as conqueror on the white horse of victory, and he has many diadems, many crowns on his head. He is the universal king. And he promised in Revelation 1 verse 3, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. What shall we do? We should praise God. Continue to praise God. Continue to await God. Continue to thank God that he gave his word, that his word came alive and lived among us, that he gave us insight in his word through his spirit. And we should be faithful in challenging times, but also be comforted. And like the church in heaven, sing hallelujah. And above all, pray, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and the comfort you are giving in your word, that we can confidently await the judge that will return. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for your glory, that the rider of the white horse will return soon. And we pray, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, because we long to live in all eternity with you in the new Jerusalem, the city that will come down from heaven. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.